The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, our number 2 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always appreciate you taking us along for the ride, especially on a holiday. If we're here and you're here, it's our time. So the fact that you guys are listening and participating is exactly why we're doing what we do today.
Yeah, and people are texting us. Hey, sorry you guys are working today, but I'm not going to lie. I'm glad to hear you guys today. Happy Labor Day. Thank you for the text. Happy Labor Day to you. Some other, glad y'all are on. I'm tired of listening to the mothership, listening from Arizona now. Thanks for being on, gents. Well, thank you for listening all the way from Arizona. Mm-hmm. Donna said, I appreciate the labor of love today, and thanks for explaining the Texans' moves in plain English. Thank you for listening, Donna. Because look, I ain't going to lie. It's Labor Day. People are outside. They're doing things. They don't necessarily have to be listening to us. So I want to just say I appreciate you guys that are listening for taking the extra initiative to pull out the app or put us however it is that you have to listen. It's not usually convenient when you're in the car or whatever. So we appreciate you guys as well. And that's why we're here, because we love you guys. Thank you.
No doubt about it. So with that being said, before we kind of bounce around a little bit to some of the other things going on that it's gone on, Eric wants to talk Texans. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day, Eric.
I have a quick question. Do the Texans have anything else to trade, maybe to get Melvin Gordon?
Well, they don't have any picks. They don't have – appreciate the call, Eric. Happy Labor Day again. Yeah, they don't have any picks left. They don't have any – you know, talent or depth that they're, I mean, really, no.
And here's the thing.
You kind of did that with Clowney. That was your one trade piece. Clowney, that was it.
And draft picks, which you just cleaned out for the foreseeable next couple years. And the other thing is, too, they somehow believe Carlos Hyde is the guy that they need, and it's just going to be a change of scenery and another system that's going to make sure that after his fifth stop, I think it is, in the last couple of years, he's going to be perfect. He's going to fit right in. He's going to be great. He's going to be just like he was in San Francisco, instead of looking at the guys that were out there that could have actually made a difference. And oh, by the way, for all you people that were saying, well, hey, they could have made a trade and avoided trying to pick up someone off the waiver wire. They could have traded with Buffalo for either McCoy or TJ Yeldon. Do you know who's in Buffalo? Brian Gain would have gone. Bill who? Bye.
Yeah.
Ain't going to happen. Smallwood was a guy, though, that I was interested from Philly.
Yeah, but you don't trade Jadeveon Clowney for
that. No, you pick up Smallwood. He was cut.
I'm acting like they got something good for Jadeveon Clowney.
Point taken. But you pick him up as depth because he's experienced. By the way, Jacksonville.
Yeah, but that's Carlos
they
Hyde.
They need running backs
Carlos
out, too.
Hyde is depth. He's experienced.
Yes.
That's exactly what that move was.
But at least...
And you gave away a guy you were going to cut that was awful.
Are you going to be heartbroken if I tell you that they brought in Smallwood and Hyde and got rid of two guys that were on the kid from Michigan or someone on the backside? No, right? Because the more experience, the better.
Free agents.
Because if it doesn't cost you anything, you bring in a couple. And all you need is one to step up to complement.
But you still have to pay them. It's going to cost you.
Sure, but... These guys are not going to break the bank.
Here's the thing, Joel. You're forgetting this now. You've got Duke Johnson, but Lamar Miller's probably done now. He's, unfortunately for him, he's going to recover and they're probably not going to re-sign him because of the injury. And go see Demaryius Thomas for that example. But don't worry, because look, you know, Hyde's a rental. Duke Thomas is here for a year or two. But at least they have these draft picks that they can go and get a running. Well, never mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I digress. You know, that's one of those things. You could probably pick up a draft pick or a running back in the second or third round. But
see, in the third round, they should have taken the kid from Iowa State this year instead of just trying to figure out if there were guys that they could add for depth. There were guys that actually could have made a difference for you this year if you knew that you were worried about depth at the running back position.
Yeah. Well.
So.
A couple more texts and then we'll move on from this. But someone said Miami still gave up the fourth most sacks last season, even with Tunsil. The other four linemen were garbage, so that doesn't mean much for the Texans. I mean, that's a valid point. It's a valid point. No doubt. We'll see what Titus Howard is and how he progresses throughout the year. I anticipate him not doing well to begin the season. I want to see how he plays in the last four or five games of the year as opposed to the first four or five games of the year. Somebody said, I can't think of a left tackle that's worth two ones and a two. I would agree with that. Now, remember, you also had a wide receiver in the mix, so it's not that you gave up two ones and a two for Laremy Tunsil. You also did get a quality. I'm not high on Kenny Stills. I'm not like he's great. But he's average to good. I mean, he's better than QT when QT's not on the field, which is most of the time. And he's probably better than Fuller when Fuller's not on the field, which is most of the time. So in that regard, you got you some insurance. Speaking of that, and I mentioned him, Demaryius Thomas, you saw he was cut so that they could maybe bring him back?
They did today.
Did they?
Yeah.
That's the same thing with LeSean McCoy. And we were talking about him. Why? I don't know that LeSean McCoy wanted to come to the Texans. I think if he wasn't going
he's
to be
an Andy
in Buffalo,
guy. He's played for
he
Andy
would
Reid.
Love to go to Kansas City. Yep. So I know people were like, how come the Texans didn't go get LeSean McCoy? You got to remember, when a guy gets cut and has the opportunity to go anywhere as a free agent, he has to want to go to those teams. If you were a running back and you looked at this team, would you, and you were thinking, okay, this is my last couple years, are you going to invest it in the Texans? No. The Chiefs are a lot closer than the Texans are right now.
Offensively, for sure, right. But at the same time, the trade, if nothing else, gives you at least a left tackle to stabilize part of the line. And then you hope, like you said, between the two young guys, between Howard. Let's skip the fact that they were tackles in college that are suddenly playing guard. If the fact that they're young and they're better than serviceable and they can do their jobs, then the line is at least an upgrade from where they were a year ago.
Right.
So then you look at it and go, yeah, I mean, I think you can make that work. And you got a great quarterback, and so he can open things up for you too. So we'll see what happens. But, man, it's been hard to dissect all this and not just shake your head going, you know, to quote Lombardi, what the hell is going on?
Steelers fan Juan wants to know, you still think the Browns are going to win the division? Is the bet still on?
Is that with you?
No, with you. He says, you still think the Browns are going to win the division, Joel?
Oh, I don't know that I didn't know that we bet anything, but I you know what? I like the Steelers. Look, I'm not going to crap on your Steelers. I think there's enough talent there. But I don't think the Browns are ready for primetime Super Bowl-wise, but I think they have enough talent to win the division. It's all on Baker's shoulders.
I made a bet with Lenny that I think we bet the Texans-Saints game.
Yeah, you were making a lot of bets when I left.
No, it was just with Lenny. I think, if I recall, that was the bet, is he got the Texans in the 7 points.
I was like,
good luck with that.
We recapped a whole bunch of bets that you made with me.
No.
We just haven't named prices on them.
No. You are incorrect, sir.
You know that you said the AFC South was going to win more games than the NFC North.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, really?
Nick, do you know what he's talking
Nick,
about?
Nick, this is why we can go back and grab the audio. Don't you dare start playing like Texas Hammer on Barry's side, because you know we can go back to the audio and listen to it. That's right. And find out that he said... He said his Texans were going to have a better record than the Packers.
What day did we say that, Joel? How would we even go back and listen? I don't know that you know what you're talking about. Hey, cheers, fellas. I got my suspects on the solar hand crank radio doing tractor work out in the boonies.
Thank you. Did you borrow it from Charlie? He brought it to the Nick's place on Friday.
Hey, good to hear you guys today after the weekend dumpster fire that is the Texans. I needed some comedy to go with this Texans soup sandwich. I think you meant bleep sandwich, but that's AR Platinum checking in. Appreciate you, AR Platinum.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's get Paul's call in. I'm ready to move off the Texans after this segment. We're going to move on. We need to talk Justin Verlander's no-no. We need to talk about how awful the news station is in this town.
Oh,
one of them. We need to talk about the kid that parked at Chick-fil-A in the handicap spot today. We didn't do that on air. I just did it, and I told you guys about it.
Oh, I thought you told it
on
air.
No. We need to talk about that. Together. We need to talk about the no-no.
The Cougars.
We need to talk about penis dysmorphia.
Cougars.
The Cougars, yeah. We need to talk U of H.
Yeah. And hot chicks over 40.
Huh?
Oh, Cougars.
Yeah, and we need to talk. That Auburn-Oregon game was a lot of fun.
That was good.
Yeah, we need to get into all right, that. So we're going to move on from the Texans.
Paul, upbeat, happy. Let's go, Paul. What's up, baby?
What's going on, man? I got screwed over. I got hammed up on Verlander.
What?
What I want to tell you, though.
Is this Boomhauer?
Is the freaking Texans, they suck. They need a GM. They need a new head coach. They need an offensive line. And that's just what I'm. That's all I got to say because they are a freaking dumpster fire, and I've said this many, many times.
Paul, appreciate the call, man. Now,
let's just move on.
Sit down.
Yeah,
take a load off.
That sounds like Boomhauer when he started. He's like, "No, ding dong, Texas man, they go over there, they go down, and they get a trade."
I don't know what he. I didn't know what he said at the start, but there was a whole lot of noise. Yeah, exactly right, Nick. It was kind of like Jimbo Fisher. Somewhere there's a wombat out there with his name on it. But we appreciate him calling on a Labor Day.
Appreciate the call, Paul.
Got that in. Let's get Larry in before we move on. Larry wants to talk about a trade that was terrible. Larry, what's up?
Yeah, I heard one thing no one ever mentioned was it Stills a protester?
Yeah, I mentioned
that. How's that going to go with the taking a knee down in the stadium?
Yeah, it's a good point, Larry, and we appreciate the call. Look, Barry and I were talking about it off the air.
We brought it up last week when there was discussions of Clowney to the Dolphins for Stills and some picks.
Right.
So, yeah, it is one of those things. You got to remember, though, that whole choir boy, don't rock the boat, nobody kneeling stuff was a lot more Bob McNair.
I think this is Cal saying we've moved on from that.
Yeah, and I saw an article. Where did it go? Damn it. From Texans Wire, where Bill O'Brien actually said
today
he's got his guys back when it comes to social injustice issues. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. But
something he's never said under the Bob McNair era.
This is a quote from O'Brien. Relative to any, he loves that word relative. Relative to any social justice initiatives, you know my history here with the Houston Texans is I love the players.
That's what
I have the players back. We communicate about those things. I'm not going to get into any discussions I would have with any player about those things, but I support the players in social justice initiatives.
That's what I was going to say, Nick. He has said that. He's always I'm with my guys in this locker room, and you know, and I support them. So,
but
I mean,
through protesting specifically,
I was going to say
yes.
I don't know how far, but he has said he would. Okay. Support them.
No. We're asking if he said that before during the Bob McNair era, not now.
Oh yeah. He's always been very and look, all the bitching and complaining and all the things we do. A lot of players like playing for Bill O'Brien. Some don't.
Right.
Some don't like this organization. Some don't like Bill O'Brien. But there are a lot of players that really do like playing for him. So I'm not suggesting that he has the whole locker room and every single player to a man loves Bill O'Brien. But I think he tries to do the right thing. He's tough. He's disciplined. But I think players do like playing for him.
And I'm just going to say that.
You know
I
where,
think this
you know
move,
where you stand
in
with.
Part, by having Stills in it, was Cal's way of saying, hey, look, I'm making my own statement. I'm in charge now, and I'm okay with it.
And Tunsil, too, with the whole weed thing before the draft.
You still think he has that bong?
I don't know.
I'm sure you can get it to
bong.
Him. You can probably get
game.
It before he hits
like,
Craigslist.
Hey, Laramie. Still got that face bong?
Still got that big-ass bong? You want to go hang out for a little while?
All right, so we're going to talk some Justin Verlander for a while and your Houston Astros, who are about to start a day game in the beautiful city of Milwaukee as they play a quick two-game set in Brewtown. So we'll get some Astros talk in there. We can always circle back and get some more Texans talk, but we appreciate you being with us on this Labor Day. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show rolls on, and as we know, college football is underway, and that means the Rice Owls are going to be kicking off the 2019 season as Rice football takes on Wake Forest, presented by IBEW. Don't miss the primetime Power 5 college football game as the Owls battle the Demon Deacons at historic Rice Stadium. Nick's a big fan of that stadium. Friday, September, without a date, at 7 p.m. Call or text 713-348-OWLS or visit riceowls.com/tickets to secure your tickets today. By the way, it says right here, Friday, September at 7 p.m. So, I believe that's coming up this Friday. Verify
you know
what
you weren't supposed to do this until 2:30, right?
He always does it one segment early. That's premature
promotion.
I make sure
real
I do.
Issue with you.
Hey, Malone, when I'm Stockton, I'll distribute when the opportunity arises. If I see the right opening,
premature.
I will get you the rock. It's what you do with it. So basically, you verify that there's no date on there.
Yeah, it just says September.
Give Courtney a break. She's isn't she having her party?
She's coming back today. Whatever's done is done. Okay. Whatever male strippers have or have not been involved. And if the wedding is on or off, we'll find out. But it's done. She's coming back from the bay. The horseshoe. As it is. All right.
So this today, when I left the house, you guys know I always stop, get my lunch, get some Chick-fil-A. Or other things. I'll get Subway still sometimes. But it's just easier with the app, and it's right there by the house. So I always order on the app and then go in and get it because it's faster than the drive-thru, right? So I pull into the Chick-fil-A parking lot. I park. I get out. I'm walking in, and this car pulls into a handicap spot. And I don't know why I always check, but I always check when people park in handicap spots. I always check to see, is there a handicap placard hanging down from the rearview mirror, or do they have handicap plates?
I'm with you. I told you I did it at Starbucks.
So I checked the placard, no placard. I checked the plates, no plates. And I walk around to the driver's side because I have to, because that's the pathway into the Chick-fil-A. So I have to walk right past this car and right past this handicap spot. So as I'm walking past him, it's just some young-ass kid. So I stop and I turn around. And he opens his car door, and he's getting ready to get out. And I said, hey, man, are you handicapped? And he just looked at me for a second, and he goes, no. I said, why are you parking there? And so he kind of looks back like he didn't see the big-ass blue handicap symbol on the ground. And he looks at me and goes, oh, man, I'm just running in real quick to grab my food. I said, me too, bro. But I parked down there where all those spaces are like you're supposed to do. I said, why don't you get back in your car and move it? He goes, oh, man. I was like, come on, dude. No, I said, just do the right thing, bro. Just move. It ain't that big of a deal, but just move to one of those empty spaces. And he looked at me it felt like 5 minutes because it was just dead silence. And he stared at me and I stared at him, but I wasn't going to back away or break eye contact.
You can't lose the eye stare, man.
No.
Can't do it.
And he looked at me and he goes, man. And he got back in the car and he backed up and he went and parked in an empty spot. And I said, okay, that's cool. When he comes in, while we're both waiting to get our food, I'm just going to say, hey, man, I appreciate you doing the right thing. That was very nice of you. Because I thought he was just like me, getting a to-go order. I thought maybe he's even Uber Eats guy or something like that, right?
So
I'm sitting in the to-go, waiting for my food to get ready in the little area that they do. And this guy walks up to the counter and starts ordering. I was like, you son of a bitch. You didn't even... You were getting it to-go. You didn't have an order. Like, you just walked in and walked out, you lying sack of crap. Oh, I was so mad then. I was like, well, at least he did the right thing. But still, you're a jerk. I didn't say anything, no. I just got my food and left. But I thought, you lying
bastard. Big grapes in the parking lot. You should have just dropped the other hammer on him.
Well, because
when you're
he
inside.
Moved, so at this point it didn't matter. But I was like, you're such a liar. You weren't just running in to get your food.
Drop your chicken nuggets. Drop them. Just say, you know what, dude?
What are you talking about?
Go back at him in the store.
I already addressed it with him. I didn't need to do that again.
Nick, what do you think? I think he started it. He could have finished it.
I did finish it. He moved. I won. At that point, it didn't matter, but I thought you are a liar.
He lied to you. No one lies to Barry Laminack and gets away with it.
Sack of crap.
I don't think anyone lies to Barry Laminack and gets away with it.
At least I said something, Joel. I live my life by a simple motto, WWJQD. What would John Quinones do? I always feel like that dude is watching me. When I see stuff like that, I'm always like, oh, am I on What Would You Do Right Now?
Is that the dude where he sets it up in the restaurants? I'm going to be real honest.
I would never do the right thing. I just always feel like I'm on What Would You Do? And so I feel like I don't want to be the guy that you're at home watching Channel 13 and you're like, oh, look at this jerk.
Yeah, you
just
don't want to be that guy.
Just let that guy treat that girl like that. Or like that happened to me at the Baker Street Pub when I had that gig. When was it? Friday or Saturday in the Woodlands? As I'm walking into Baker Street Pub, there's a guy standing at the door. He's like, you're a bleeping bleeping. And he's calling apparently some dude in the bar a gay slur. And they're yelling back and forth. And he's like, well, come outside and I'm going to whoop your ass. And I'm like, oh, yes. We hadn't even got to the comedy yet. This is awesome. And then this girl walks up. She's like, just leave. And she shoves the dude. And I was like, oh. And then he shoved her. And I was like, hey.
You better watch it, bro.
But he didn't like shove her like, I'm going to fight you, shove you with two hands. He took his arm and he moved her out of the way. But she kind of stumbled and she was drunk. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, I'm not going to whoop his ass right now because technically he didn't. And she shoved him first. Like she tried to shove him like, you want to fight? And he moved her out of the way with his arm, but she kind of stumbled. And then that's when the dude, I guess that was her man, jumped up and rushed him. He was like, what are you? And then they just sat there nose to nose and nobody swung. I was like, y'all are a bunch of punks. This sucks. One of them was drunk and he was the one that was, you know, getting shoved by the girl. The other guy was stone cold sober. You move my wife out of the way like that? I'm probably going to have to hit you.
Fighting words. That's fighting moves right there.
Because he goes, don't shove my wife. And he was like, that's your wife? I didn't think you had a wife because you're a... I was like, oh. Man. And nothing happened. I was like, well, this is kind of disappointing. But hey, now there's comedy. So great.
Excellent.
Again, though, I was like, I'm waiting. If this dude shoves that chick, I'm going to go whoop his ass because John Quinones might have me on camera right now. And if I don't, I'm going to look like a punk to the entire United States.
It depends on how big the guy. Like, if he's my size or smaller, I might do it. But if he's bigger, I'm like, nah.
Nah, bro, it's a woman. Think about that. If you got a woman being shoved by a dude, I don't care
that's
if he's bigger or not.
That's a big problem.
She's a woman.
And is she a fit woman?
She's
like,
a woman,
she
but you're going to act
woman,
like a bitch?
She,
come on. It doesn't matter.
What if she can, like, kind of handle her own?
No, bro.
Obviously, by the way she pushed.
Some of these women could kick some of these dudes' ass. I'm just saying. Maybe
well,
she
so can
handle
you,
it.
Then. If she can whoop his ass,
well,
so can
call
you,
the
Nick.
A-team. They'll come in and save the day. When they're fighting women. Maybe not. Okay, so before we go to break, let's get Anthony in here. He wants to get on the air on this Labor Day. Anthony, what's up?
Hey, man, I just want to say I'm working the pool industry, so I usually always work on holidays that I should be at home spending time with my family. So I appreciate y'all putting that same sacrifice on the radio, especially about these stupid Texans and awesome Astros. Yeah, have a good day, man.
Hey, thanks, appreciate Anthony. It, Anthony. But, keep fighting the good fight, man.
Sorry you're good out there grinding, too, but we appreciate
man.
You.
I got nothing but respect for dudes out there grinding, taking care of their family on the Labor Day. Good for you, man. You
know, speaking of grinding, let's talk about one, a Toro, not of a red, white, and blue color,
okay,
but a Toro that came through in a big way to help save the day for Justin Verlander. We got baseball to talk about coming up next because they're coming up on a 3 o'clock first pitch against the Milwaukee Brewers. So let's get to some Astros talk and have some cheer in our Labor Day, shall we? We'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. The big show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 Labor Day edition. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be enjoying this day off, hopefully. Or if you're working like some of our loyal suspects, you're listening as well. We appreciate you. All this Texans talk and trades were going on this weekend, there was something big happening north of the border in Canada as Justin Verlander put together another gem. Second time he's thrown a no-hitter in Toronto. You can change the name of the stadium. You can't change the result in the venue as he is now in rarefied air in terms of Major League pitchers that have thrown at least three no-hitters. And he did so with a nothing-nothing game going into the top of the ninth inning, in which All the drama was laid out on the table. His pitch count was up. You know that AJ didn't want to take him out of the game. And the baseball gods aligned with everything that the Astros had left in the tank. And lo and behold, thanks to Mr. Toro playing third base and going deep off of Ken Kiss My Ass Giles. After, wow. I mean, I got so sick of him striking out the side the night before and just cuss bombing his way into I'm great again. I love seeing him give up the home run, and then Verlander finishes the deal. Just a fantastic way to win the series in Toronto.
Yeah, it was really cool to see. Well, not see, but to watch and have him have that happen for this franchise and him 8 years later. All the weird Toronto ties was interesting. You got Toro, who's from Canada, not, I think, 5 hours outside of Toronto. He gets the game winning hit and gets the last out, and then Verlander's last no hitter was there, and then you had what was it, Sanchez and Biagini
were part of the first no hitter.
Yeah, part of the first no hitter earlier this year. So a lot of cool stuff going on between no hitters in Toronto and the Astros.
The no hitter was a year and 2 days after the Astros acquired Verlander.
Pretty
so there
cool.
was a lot, a lot going on.
It kind of makes you think, though, when you start to talk about, oh, well, if you pick up, you know, if you go out and you added a Zach Greinke as he's getting up in age, or, hey, still some of these guys still have plenty left in the tank. Don't forget, how old was Nolan Ryan when he threw his last no-hitter?
I don't know, but he threw seven of them. So, you know, he made kind of old hat of it. But when you look at what Verlander was able to do,
wasn't he?
And not only just what he was able to do, but the way he went about his business, and the fact that he said after the game that he didn't really feel like he had his best fastball in terms of velocity, and he proved it in the fact that when he threw his first pitches of the game, he was in the low 90s. He threw his seven fastest pitches in the ninth inning. He threw 97 miles an hour.
He started the game at 93 in his last fastball. I think Blummer said, somebody tweeted him that like his first pitch fastball was 93. That last out was a 97 mile an hour fastball. That's pretty crazy.
And you talk about old guys that still have it left in the tank. The only player who didn't strike out yesterday was Vlad Jr. The only player who reached base was Kevin Biggio.
Yeah.
Both of them had fathers playing against JV when he broke in. We mentioned his five hardest fastballs of the game were in the final at bat against Bo Bichette, who was seven when Verlander started his career. He threw a season-high 120 pitches and still was bringing it that hard in the ninth inning. He had 14-plus Ks the last time, 2 years ago.
That's crazy.
I mean, just everything that this guy is doing makes him worth every penny they've spent, and we all know what he meant to the World Series team. So it's just amazing what he was able to do at a time, again, when this team just had another moment where they all came together. They're enjoying and really soaking all this thing in. But you can just see, again, how much it meant to the entire squad. Because then when they were showing the dugout shots all the way to the celebration, and the big thing about the celebration was, and I said to Lisa when it was going on, when Verlander was celebrating, one, I loved he went right to Chirinos as if to say, we did this, not me. And then I was like, well, he's got to get Toro at some point. And now they're going to start making T-shirts, where the F is Toro? Because he said it because he knew without him, he wouldn't be in this situation.
So when it happened, it made me think of a couple things. One, I thought, how lucky are we to be Houston Astros fans and have another great pitcher like Justin Verlander making history for this franchise?
Yeah.
And then it made me think, do the Astros have the greatest collection of pitchers in a franchise history?
I don't think so.
I would put, if you listed every great pitcher that's pitched for the Astros as a starter versus any others, I would be willing to bet you're going to be hard-pressed to find the names to compile like the Astros have. Wow. Dodgers would be one.
And Yankees would be one.
Yankees would be one, but there's not many others. And you could even say, oh, well, yeah, the Braves, Glavine, Maddox
would be one.
And Smoltz. I mean, the Red Sox had – but think about this, dude. You think about – Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit. Yeah, they were Red Sox and Yankees, but also Astros.
Sure. Randy Johnson, too, though, because Randy Johnson pitched for the Yankees.
Correct. Okay. But then, I mean, you talk about Ryan. You talk about J.R. Richard, Mike Scott, Roy Oswalt, you know, Daryl Kyle. I mean, like, the number of premier, like,
But you, I mean, and again, because of the history of the Yankees, you could say you had Ron Guidry, and you could go match for match.
Yeah.
You had Ron Guidry with the Yankees and Tommy John when Tommy John, and for both Yankees and Dodgers. There were legendary pitchers, and because of the franchises with the money that they've had to spend,
sure,
it's
and
hard
they've been
to
around longer.
It's hard to compete with Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox.
But when you think about the history of the Astros and how many just ridiculously good, record-breaking, history-making pitchers this team has had, it's hard-pressed to find many other teams that can compete with the list that you could make of starters.
And we did a video that's going to come out on Sports Map about who were the toughest, grittiest pitchers in the history of the Astros. And you had so many to choose from because maybe they weren't here a long time, but when they were here, in the case of like Randy Johnson, he couldn't have done much more than what he did that half a year that he was here in terms of the way he was dominating lineups. And you talk about the fact that, you know, you had Verlander, he got you a World Series, you had a choice to make, and you made the right move because you elected to pay him $33 a year, but to keep him in Astros uniform, and it paid off. He's one of six ever with three-plus no-hitters. One of six in the history of the game.
Yeah. Who were the others? Nolan Ryan's one.
Nolan Ryan's Astro. One of the last one to do it was Nolan Ryan. So when you look at that and you factor that in, then he has 250 Ks for the fifth time in his career. One of only five in Major League history that have had 5 years of 250 or more strikeouts. And again, when you talk about a guy that in his last inning, he was throwing harder than his first inning, and we said when they made the trade for him, this is a trend with this guy. He's a freak of nature. His arm is rubbery.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just amazing. That's where you can just sigh and go, this is a guy we never have to worry about while he's out there as long as he's under contract with your team. And he continues. And as much as this pains me to say this, the one thing that I was thinking about yesterday at the end of the day was, now you can actually say this solidified the Cy Young for him, and my guy's probably not going to win. Because when you factor in a no-hitter.
Mark that down, Nick. Mark that down.
Nick, right under the
2:36 p.m., Barry was right.
Right under the two
Joel
that you already
it.
Have marked where he made those dumb trades with me.
I don't know what that means. Dumb trades.
Bets with me. Sorry.
What? Get your...
So, I mean, look, what the guy's doing is amazing. And
it
the
is.
Fact that
it really
for
is.
At least this year, you have Cole, you have... You know, you didn't. Everybody said, well, you had to make a move. You didn't have to make a move because the Yankees didn't. But because you did go out and get Greinke... And you've got a guy that's been better than advertised in Miley. Rotation is fantastic right now.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, there's no doubt. They have one of the best rotations in baseball right now. And
just keep Fromber off the mound for me. I'm about done with that experiment, too. You want to go one more chance, one more around the block with your Keedy? We'll try it one more time. Otherwise, we can just go back to putting Colin McHugh out there, and I'd feel better.
Well, he's hurt, so.
Well, Peacock's hurt.
Yeah, well, I think they put McHugh on the IL, right?
Did they put McHugh there, too?
Yeah, after they pulled him after that.
Well, look at your bullpen getting better by the day. That bullpen. Just look at the numbers.
That was a fun game, man. That was good times. Happy for Justin Verlander and really cool.
And now they win another series on the road, so they bounce back from a 4-6 road trip. They take 2 out of 3 in Toronto. Again, this is another one of the final two teams that they're going to face with 500 or better record. They're going to play two against Milwaukee today and tomorrow. They have a series coming up against the A's for 4. And then the rest of the schedule really lends itself to putting them in a position to not only have the best record in the American League, but the best record in baseball.
Uber Mike texted and said, since the Astros came into existence, only the Dodgers have equaled the amount of no-hitters that the Astros have thrown.
Say that again.
Since the Astros have came into existence, only the Dodgers as a team have as many no-hitters as a franchise that the Astros do.
But is that the end-all, be-all to your question of like best rotations in the history of a franchise?
Well, I'm not saying best rotation.
Or
I'm
best
saying
pitchers.
Best pitching staff
See, that's the
through
other
the
thing.
History of the organization.
Because then you got, if you say it like that, then you got to factor in all
well,
the,
I realize,
all
well,
the
you
great
got
closers.
And well, I'm just saying rotation. Just starters.
Okay.
And again, there's a lot of cases to be made for a lot of teams, but when you start looking at depth and the quality of the depth, and even if it was for a year or two, and I realize the Yankees probably, at the end of the day, the Yankees are going to be number one, the Dodgers number two.
Because they overpaid for everybody.
Yeah, and again, longevity matters too. But the Astros, we've been very lucky to see the kinds of pitchers come through this organization year after year in this city.
But think about... How rare, when you want to talk about...
But think about the Rangers have been around almost as long, or the Mets. They haven't seen the kind of quality that the Astros have had.
But here's my point. To what you're saying in terms of how spoiled the Astros fans have been, think about when we're talking about all these lists of all these teams that could be in that discussion, think about how many repeats are on multiple teams. Mm-hmm. Think about Clemens and Pettit being on at least, in Clemens' case, three of those teams. Yeah. The Red Sox, Yankees, and the Astros. Pettit on two. Randy Johnson on two. You know, you look at all these different names and figure out there weren't that many dominating pitchers in the history of this game for as long as it's been around. And lucky enough for Astros fans, you've been able to sample quite a few of them.
Yeah.
Over a long period of time, which is fantastic.
I pulled up a list because I was trying to find something definitive. The 50 best pitching teams in MLB history.
Mm-hmm.
The Astros had five on this list, starting with the 24th best in 86. And obviously, that was Ryan and Scott, Bob mm-hmm. Nepper, Jim mm-hmm. DeShays. Then you had the 1998 Astros team, which included Randy Johnson, Mike Hampson, Jose Lima, Shane Reynolds.
Yep.
They had Billy Wagner.
That's when Lima was good.
Yeah. I'm sorry, they had four on this list. And then where's the other ones? And then the number 11 was 2005 Astros.
Clemens and Pettit.
And you can probably, this list is a little older, but obviously this rotation now with Verlander, Cole, Greinke, and Miley, probably on this top 50 list as well. So, yeah, 2005 Houston Astros came in at number 11 with Clemens, Pettit, Oswalt, Lidge as part of that rotation. So, and then the number one overall, you want to take a stab at it? They what they're saying is the best pitching staff assembled in the history of baseball.
Was that Koufax Drysdale?
No. They say the Braves in 95.
With Maddox, Glavine, Smoltz,
Avery, Mark Wohlers was your closer.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's still plenty of games going on today and tonight. So, Barry, you might want to tip the people off that if they're interested in more than just viewing games, maybe, just maybe, they want to put some money on them. There's places you can go.
Yeah, they can go to MyBookie. That's right, Joel. I didn't have my copy ready. I'm totally screwed
on
that.
That's okay, but MyBookie's the place to go if you're wanting to be more than a casual observer. I'm listening to the guy.
I thought it was best hotel rates. God.
I'm listening to the guy.
I really dropped the ball on this one, guys.
Here, let me pick it up for you.
Don't you drop the ball because it's NFL season and it's about to kick off, and you know what that means. It's time to bet. It's time to win. Most importantly, it's time to get paid, and you can do that at MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag has more odds and more prop bets. And that's the fun part is the prop bets. And you're not going to find all the options that they have for you at any other sports book. So check them out. Absolutely nobody pays you out faster than MyBookie. You want to get your cash out and you want to get paid. You do that through MyBookie. And I'm telling you, that's super important. Where you bet is as important as what you bet, because where you bet is also going to determine how you get paid. So you need to check out MyBookie. Sign up now. They're going to double your first deposit if you use promo code radio. That means you can get up to $1,000 in free money to bet this football season. So that's a great bonus. I don't want you to miss out on that. They've got tons of, like I said, tons of prop bets, tons of things for you to do. They're safe. They're reliable. And make sure you use that promo code radio to get that exclusive double your money offer today. It's mybookie.ag. Promo code radio. Don't play some no-name sports book. Bet with the best. Bet with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid at mybookie.ag.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Rolling through hour number two of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 Labor Day Edition. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride wherever you may be in the big city, whether you are vacationing with an extra day on the extended weekend, or you are laboring, and we're putting in the work, so are we for you. So we appreciate you making us a part of your day.
Like Rich, he said, I'm an ice cream vendor. I'm just out here slinging this ice cream. Thanks for grinding with us. Thank you for grinding with us, Rich. We appreciate it. NASCAR Johnny said, always working, and I love hearing Usual Suspects. We appreciate you, NASCAR Johnny. As always, even I mean, you check in all the way from Austin, and we appreciate that. And congrats on the new gig again. We know you're... You're not going to be able to listen as much, but that's all right.
Got a shirt coming his way, right? Didn't we get his buddy got him one?
Chris got him one, yeah.
Yep.
There you go. Yep. That's not the same Eric, is it? Did we validate it's not the same Eric? Okay, well, let's make sure that's not the same Eric first, because I don't want to take his two calls from one guy in the same day. And while we do that, I did have a question for you. First of all, sad news, another mass shooting in Midland, Odessa.
Yes.
Craziness where a guy got pulled over, shot a deputy or a state trooper, stole a mail van, and then went on a shooting spree. Five people died. A toddler had like shrapnel in her face. She's going to be okay, but she's going to have to heal first. Just an awful thing all the way around.
Did you see some of it too? Where the TV station was right by the movie theater. Mm-mm. And there was a kid from the area, born and raised, that was on the air as an anchor. And he was on with one of the longtime anchors there.
Uh-huh.
They were so worried about the shooting coming into the newsroom that while on live television, they walked off the air because they were fearing for their lives.
Really?
Yeah, it was just crazy, man.
So we were, it all went down, and I was at home watching the news about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to name any names, but Deborah Wrigley did a report on the shooting.
Okay.
And she had someone that she felt like had a tie to the shooting, because that's always the thing with local news is they try to, if there is a story that occurs outside of the city, they'll find somebody with a Houston tie.
Sure.
Like maybe one of the people that were shot, maybe their parents live here in Houston or whatever, right?
Right.
So she has a woman on the phone from Bay City who was talking about the fact that she had family in Odessa whose granddaughter had a birthday party that had to be canceled because the shootings were occurring a couple of miles from their neighborhood. Now, nobody in this lady's family was shot. Nobody in this lady's family was closer than a mile or two of the shootings. They just had to cancel a birthday party. And this is what they put on the news. No offense to Lisa, because I know Lisa cares about her job.
Oh, big time, yeah.
But some of these people in the news are lazy. That was the worst. I was like, what does this person canceling a child's birthday party have to do with five dead, 20 shot? It's lazy.
Numbers are higher than that now, too, on the death toll.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just...
I mean, it goes back to what I was bitching about last week with the Chronicle and that BS clickbait article they wrote about Ali Sadiq, local comedian. They had to go out and disparage his good name as a comic just to try to get some clicks. Now you got Deborah Wrigley on here bringing on some dumbass lady who's, oh, my grandkid's birthday party got canceled. No one gives a crap, lady. This is like, I mean, this is awful, man. Do better, Deborah Wrigley. That was pretty terrible.
Was she there?
No! She was here in Houston giving the report.
That's even worse.
Then they brought on a lady who was like, oh, on the flight to Midland, it was real somber. This is what you're reporting. The pilot never even mentioned it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the bigger thing. I mean, if you really want to be on top of it, then you get a crew there as fast as you can.
Yeah, and you bring us reports and information about actually involved. And then they had, here's a picture of the family. They're on their driveway looking around like, oh, what's going on? Oh, yeah, boy, that must be terrible. Like, this lady couldn't have been more of an attention whore than to come on the news and talk about her grandkid's birthday party got canceled?
When CNN came on the air yesterday, the day after the story was already done, that's when they broke the story about the young anchor, and they had the video of him having to get off the air. Then it turns out he had brought his mom into work for the day. And all of a sudden, he's like, I'm worried about all my relatives because I'm from here. And then I realized that my number one relative, my mom, is in the studio and she's freaking out and we don't know what to do. And that's when we realized, hey, there are things more important than being on the air for television. We got to protect our lives. That's crazy stuff. But that's the people that are knee deep dealing with it. For some of those people that are, you know, in other states too far away to realize just how this affects people's lives. But, yeah, there's other people that are just out there just trying to keep the ball rolling in the right direction by finding a story that fills time.
Just lazy. Absolutely. Just disgusting, too. It was like, really?
That's bad.
Oh, I'm really sorry your grandkid's birthday party got canceled.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, before we wrap up hour number two, mentioned the fact that Ali Sadiq, and then the other thing we were talking about last week was the whole Dave Chappelle special.
Yeah.
Eric wants to get in here on that. Eric, what's up?
Hey guys, just thank y'all for being on the radio today. Out here working like y'all, and nice hearing y'all talk about all the good stuff that went down in Houston over the weekend. But I recently watched that Dave Chappelle, Sticks and Stones, and I've been reading the news, and they've been bashing him on the news just over his, I guess, his sense of humor. And I just kind of wanted to know what y'all's thoughts were. I thought it was, I think it's funny, but I just wanted to know what y'all thought, if y'all had seen it. Or,
yep. Thanks for the call, Eric. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Eric. Yeah, we talked a little bit about it last week. Mm-hmm. When somebody else brought it up, I loved it. I loved it. It kind of, I felt like it was a breath of fresh air in a climate and an environment, especially in comedy, where being politically correct is really stifled the creativity of a lot of comics. Dave Chappelle said, "You know what? Y'all don't scare me. I'm gonna say what I want to say. I'm gonna tell the jokes that I want to tell." And it's one of those things, and I talked about it last week. You can't just selectively get offended, and you can't get offended for other people. And that's the culture and society that we live in now. You've got people with no skin in the game, really, other than they're just social justice warriors, and they look for things that make themselves feel better by attacking other people. And that was literally his point. One of his jokes was he made fun of the audience by doing an impression of them and saying, "Oh, if you did something bad 20 years ago, I'm going to find it and tear you down." And he goes, "That's you guys. I've never been more disgusted than to have to entertain people like you." And the crowd was eating it up. But that was his whole point, is that everybody is so sensitive now and gets offended for everyone else. How about if something offends you, then say it. Otherwise, shut up. It's just, I loved it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was on point. I thought it was accurate.
I think you tied it into your comedy too, but I think the best point you made too was the fact that if you're one of those people that's offended, speak up. If someone is speaking for you, and in most cases hasn't even checked with you, then let them speak up if they're upset, but don't speak up for them.
Yeah, I mean, you know what happens if something offends me? I just ignore it, or I change the channel, or whatever. But like, if I see something I don't like Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh says and does things that I find offensive. Mm-hmm. But rather than try to be a social justice hero, I just don't listen to Rush Limbaugh. If you don't like Dave Chappelle and you thought it was offensive, then guess what? Just, you're not a fan of his comedy and move on. Bill Maher. Bill Maher has said some extremely offensive things in the past. I just don't listen. I'm not upset. I mean, he can do what he wants to do, whatever. But I don't know. I was glad to see Chappelle come out and do that, because there's literally no F's given when it comes to Dave Chappelle. In fact, I went to Mo Ammer's show last night. And I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for Houston for supporting their own. I think he sold out the whole weekend.
It's great.
He was sold out both shows Saturday and sold out last night's show. I'm not sure about Friday, but it doesn't matter. You sell out a Sunday? Like, they were literally bringing in tables from outside. That's how packed it was. But he did a little Q&A afterwards, and somebody said, "Is there a joke you regret?" And he said, "No. I've never regretted telling a joke. I've done shows that I've regretted, like in Temple, Texas, or Huma, Louisiana, but I've never told a joke that I regret telling." And that's rare nowadays, because because people make it really difficult to do the job of comedian.
And if you missed it, we had Mo Ammer in with us in studio last week, leading into his shows this weekend. So go back on the podcast and check that out. As we wrap up hour number two, we get ready for the final 60 minutes of the show. We can kind of double back. We can talk a little bit more Texans or Astros, or we can talk about something on your mind you want to get off your chest. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. Or, of course, you can always hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.